What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Wreck your body.
Gee, I wonder who chose the music for this segment.
Everybody.
Is this fair to say that this might make you guys older than I've ever even portrayed you guys, that you guys are jamming out to Backstreet Boys?
I mean, don't act like you don't like Backstreet Boys,
right.
Tommy.
I don't even know if
I was alive when this song came out. Brothers, sisters, so everybody sing.
Oh,
this is the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. We are free on the Odyssey app. You can listen online at thefanmilwaukee.com. We've been talking NFL rumors. We've been ranking. Yesterday we ranked the quarterbacks. Today we ranked the running backs. Joining us now from the Boston Sports Journal, formerly from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and whatever the paper is down in Miami, I should probably know it, but, you know, it's Miami, so it's not really important to me. He is the one, the only, Greg Bedard. Greg Bedard joining us now on the Mason Crosby Show. How you doing, Greg?
Good. What's up, fellas? Mason, congratulations on your retirement. You now Aaron's the only one left, and I'm connected to back when I covered the Packers, and we'll right. see how long that lasts as well.
Yep, back in the day. Greg, hey, great talking to you. Yeah, it's awesome to have you on the show, so appreciate you jumping on. I want to dive right into, you know, you were at the Senior Bowl, correct?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just kind of want to dive right into that space as you know, we are we finished the NFL season. Now it's all focus on free agency and the draft coming up. Who in the at the Senior Bowl would did you see that kind of like really stood out? Were there any surprises or just guys that that are kind of must have for teams?
Well, you know, I got to say you know, there wasn't a whole lot of top end talent at the Senior Bowl this year. Like, they even had a lot of guys. Like, there was a offensive lineman from, I think, Missouri, and this is just an example of sort of where things are with NIL and everything.
Yeah.
And like all of a sudden, like, I think it was there was a player, I forget what his last name is, but he was there doing interviews. He was in the process. He had committed to the Senior Bowl. And then all of a sudden, Daniel Jeremiah came out with his like top 50 in the draft, and he was number 11. And then suddenly, the Senior Bowl people couldn't—they couldn't reach him on his phone. His agent said he was sick. He never took part. Like, but I will say, you know, not a whole lot of top end talent. I know, you know, covering the Patriots, they have a lot of needs. So, you know, there was a Belton kid, left tackle from NC State, who really impressed down there. There was this really good. And North Dakota State offensive lineman Gray Zabel, who basically can play every position on the offensive line, reminds me a little bit of Joe Tooney, who I covered with the Patriots.
Nice.
You know, he probably vaulted himself in the first round. The tight end position was stacked in Mobile. That's one of the most stacked positions. The defensive line is stacked. They had a there was a great Texas A&M. Outside linebacker, his name escapes me. I'm not the biggest draft nick in the world, as you can
okay.
tell. But you know, it was a good experience. It was a good week. Definitely not a very good quarterback crop. Of course, you guys don't need one. And the wide receivers were okay, but the top of the line guys weren't there.
Well, wow, that take that you made, like, I just didn't even like consider that the fact that guys just are, yeah, they've been getting paid, they've been getting NIL stuff. If they're ranked in a certain spot or think they're going to go, like, there's just no real pressure for these guys coming out of college to go and showcase themselves anymore.
Yeah, I feel bad for the people at the Senior Bowl. I was talking to some of them, and they had people like dropping like flies who had been committed. For months, yeah. And like really that event, the only way they make money is ticket sales for the actual game. I mean, of course, we're all there just for the practices and things like that. But, you know, when you don't get the high-end talent that's there, it definitely affects ticket sales. And, you know, it sucks because those guys do a lot of hard work all year on that event. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, enough guys got showcased and, you know, we'll have to see how that falls with the, you know, combine's coming up quickly and then we'll be in the free agency.
Nice. Yeah, let's talk about you were also at the Super Bowl. So let's talk about that Super Bowl down there in New Orleans and what your experience was and, you know, what you – obviously, like, horrific stuff that happened here, you know, recently in New Orleans, you know, and being down there, though. Like, how was the feel? How was it? Did you enjoy the game? Like, what's your take from the Super Bowl in New Orleans?
Yeah, I mean, every New Orleans Super Bowl is fabulous. It's my favorite destination. The weather worked out. The city really rebounded well. It was, I think, the timing was good for the city that they had an event like this, and it was spectacular again. I mean, as far as the game went, I mean, I just I think, and I said this on radio up here yesterday, I think, you know, one of the more sort of underplayed thing in all this, and of course, you know, Mason, you know that, you know, everybody talks about the quarterbacks when, you know, football's the ultimate team sport, and, you know, if you can't block, I don't care who you have at quarterback, like, they're not going to win. I mean, you know, to have a pressure rate over 50% in the first half or bulk of the game, I mean, I even went back and compared to Tom Brady's top pressure games, and I think one was against the Dolphins when I was covering the Dolphins, and it was, you know, they lost 21-0. He got shellacked in another game, and I think the real story of this game, and I think the Eagles are being disrespected a little bit. I think I think when history judges this team, this specific team, I think they're going to be, you know, one of the better ones in Super Bowl history.
Sure.
You know, already I had a guy, Aaron Schatz, that used to be a pro football or Football Outsiders. He's now at FTN, and he crunches all the analytics. And from the bye week on, he has this Eagles defense ranked 7th all time among all teams. We're talking 85 Bears, 2,000 Ravens. This Eagles defense is there, and then you throw in Saquon, A.J. Brown, that offensive line, Devontae Smith. I think a lot of people, including myself, slept on this Eagles team and aren't giving them the respect. It's all about the Chiefs and Mahomes, how they didn't get it done and they failed and this. The Eagles were just damn good. You guys saw it in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, it ended up being close in the end, but really the Eagles kind of toyed with the Packers in that game, and same thing with the Rams in their playoff game. I think the Eagles are just a damn good team.
I'd agree with you. This is Greg Bedard from the Boston Sports Journal joining the Mason Crosby Show. And, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. It's like this Eagles team, I think because of the style of football they played, like it wasn't flashy. It was boring. Mm-hmm. Like it was like you run the ball like effectively. Your quarterback's only throwing the ball 18 times a game, play just like smothering defense. They were not the exciting team that everyone wanted to see. Chiefs are exciting always, and this year especially because how they won games. Like it was the fact that they even got to the Super Bowl is just like they willed it to happen. And I look at this Chiefs team as they're not going to rebuild. It's not going to like be like, all right, we're rebuilding, but they need to kind of get rid of a little bit of, not rid of, but like change up some of the old guard, make sure everybody's on the same page and add some pieces if they want to continue success, which I'm sure they will because they are good. They found that recipe. They're good organization. They find ways, especially with Mahomes. But they just kind of, this was like their kind of last run, I feel like, with the team as is, and they're going to have to make some changes.
Yeah, no question. And if you look back, you know, in the aftermath of the Tampa Bay Super Bowl, which was somewhat similar, I mean, beat up offensive line, Mahomes had he was running around. That was the highest pressure rate for a game that Mahomes has ever faced in his career. And then all of a sudden that offseason, they retooled. They brought in Donovan Smith at left tackle. They signed Joe Tooney from the Patriots. Like, they expect the Chiefs are not going to sit still. They are going to adjust, and they're going to make another run.
That's what I've been saying. I'm like, man, like the Chiefs losing puts everyone in the AFC on notice even more because now they are going to be active in free agency. They're going to be in the trade conversations for all these top guys. Like it's Mahomes is mad, you know, and upset with how it went. So an angry, like pissed off Chiefs team is not something that I think that AFC is wanting to face.
Yeah, without question. And I do think it's going to be a little bit tougher for them this year with, you know, Harbaugh in year two. Peyton, Sean Payton has another year with Bo Nix and that Denver defense. The division is going to be tougher. It's going to be a tougher road for them next year. Their schedule is killer. They play like the Lions, the Ravens. They play all the first place team. It's a killer schedule.
Greg, I want to ask you about obviously your time covering the Packers and the history of the Packers being underwhelming in free agency and big splash moves and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of names associated, and you know, we have some of the Packers players, Keyshawn Nixon, Josh Jacobs, out there kind of on the recruiting trail, throwing names out, doing things. Like, do you see the Packers being active in free agency this offseason?
Yeah, and what was, you know, hilarious when I covered the Packers from, you know, 07 to 10, you know, Mason and I were sort of Packers rookies together, part of that group. Like, it used to be hilarious that, like, basically, you know, I could take the first 2 weeks of free agency off covering the Packers. And including, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but the legend was, is that the opening weekend of free agency, Ted Thompson used to give his people the weekend off because they weren't going to be involved. So that was always fun. It was always an easy offseason covering Ted and the Packers. But, I was just looking at the Packers roster. I mean, I'm sure Packers fans were disappointed by this year. You know, I was as well. I had a lot of high hopes for the Packers. I mean, I think, you know, what's good with Goody is that, you know, he took two pretty big swings in Josh Jacobs, who I've watched, I studied him closely with the Raiders, and before his final year, I mean, he was spectacular, and he was back to sort of his old self with the Packers, which was awesome. Xavier McKinney was unbelievable. I mean, I like how Goody, as opposed to Ted, like, you know, he would build through the draft, but last year showed you that he was like, well, we're close, so we're not afraid to go for a couple of bigger pieces that might put us over the top. It didn't work out last year. We'll see how that affects his mentality going into this, but, you know, you look at it, and if they could just get a little bit more consistency at the wide receiver position, like guys just staying healthy. I mean, those practice times with Jordan Love, like, that stuff's important, not just the games, but being able to practice together for a full season. Like, if they can, I think that's, they need some consistency at that spot for Jordan. And then, you know, I think everything else, you know, looks pretty damn good.
I totally agree with you. This is Greg Bedard with the Boston Sports Journal joining us on the Mason Crosby Show. And yeah, I totally agree. Goody's not afraid to step into that free agency space a little bit more. I'd be hesitant, you know, if I'm a Packers fan, getting any kind of high hopes of trading off draft picks or moving players or doing that to go and get, you know, some of these guys that are saying they'd be willing to be traded or want to be traded. So, yeah, definitely hesitant on that. And if you look at this roster, I mean, yeah, the main free agent starters that are up this year are Josh Myers, center, and Brandon McManus, you know, the kicker who came in and, you know, just really kind of solidified and, like, made that position solid, you know, since I was gone and, you know, from the 22 season. But so for me, it's that too. It's the offensive line. They have to either get those guys that they have in the building developed up and, like, get that depth really secured, or they need to, you know, they need to go and try to maybe add a piece in that. I'm sure they'll draft a guy. They'll do all the stuff. But yeah, this team is close, and I don't feel like you know, they're far off. But let's. You know, obviously you're covering Patriots now, so I would love to hear, you know, kind of your whole, you know, the NFL, but specifically on the team that you're, you know, intimate with now. You know, what are the Patriots looking like? You know, they got Vrabel, bringing back, yep. You know, the old legend Patriot player. You know, what's that team looking like, and what are you see them doing this offseason?
Yeah, well, I mean, it can't be any worse than the past 2 years. I mean, it was
pain in your voice. I can feel it.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I mean, it was you know, I covered some bad Dolphins teams, and of course, you guys were 6-10 after Brett left, and that was a tough stretch going into the next season. But then all of a sudden, you know, you guys flipped the switch and, you know, went on a winning streak, won in Arizona, or you lost the Arizona playoff game, and then came back, won a Super Bowl, and. You know, it's been a rough couple of years. Last year was a complete disaster with Jerod Mayo. He was totally out of his depth. He was not ready for the position. That much was, you know, evident almost from the get-go. Mike, you know, I think people should be excited. I mean, Mike's certainly a personality. He's not the easiest to deal with. He's a mix between, like, Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick. The charisma of Parcells, but also kind of the a-hole nature of Belichick.
So
we'll see if that's a good package. You know, but there's no question that he has a vision for this team. Getting Josh McDaniels back in the fold, I think it's going to be tremendous for Drake May. You know, as opposed to one of these, you know, sort of hotshot young offensive coordinators who do well and leave after a year, like McDaniels isn't going anyplace. And the stuff that he did with Mac Jones' rookie year, with Matt Castle when Brady went out, you know, getting Jimmy Garoppolo ready to play, like, you know, the combination of Vrabel with his vision and, you know, his knowledge on defense and McDaniels on the offensive side of the ball, I think is great. But they have to completely rebuild both lines. I know they're focused on that this offseason. There's no easy fixes there because you can't really get anybody in free agency. Maybe the Ravens let a guy like Ronnie Stanley test the market. That's possible, but I'm sure he'll be very popular because nobody else is stocked up at tackle either across the league. And, you know, the lines are the most important, and then they need to get some consistent weapons. I mean, the thing for them is they have the fourth overall pick. They have $110 million in cap space. They could be in on T. Higgins if he gets the market and things like that. They have a chance to completely remake this team in one offseason. You know, we'll see whether they're successful at that or not.
Yeah, I like that. This is Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, on the Mason Crosby Show on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Greg, I have one more question. I think Mitch wants to ask one before we let you go. But, you know, coaching carousel has been in full force. Obviously, the last piece has been put in place with Kellen Moore as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints, which I think is a great get. Are you surprised that Mike McCarthy did not get a move into a head coaching job after that Dallas stuff?
A little bit. I mean, I'm more surprised and disappointed that things didn't work out with the Cowboys. I mean, they traded Mike McCarthy for Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah,
I mean,
are we
joking? Like, yeah. I mean, I mean, you know, we know Mike, and I have a great deal of respect for Mike. You know, I always have. I remember, you know, when you guys used to come in and play the Patriots, whether it was with, you know, I think Aaron was hurt one game.
Yeah, it was Matt Flynn.
Yeah, and you guys played the Patriots tough, and then, you know, there was a game up at Lambeau against the Patriots where you guys won. Like, I know Bill Belichick had a lot of respect for Mike McCarthy, and that was enough for me. And, you know, these every offseason, I think the lesson that we learn is these owners are idiots, and they don't know what they want. They don't
know.
I mean, maybe that's good that you guys don't have an owner, you know, up there, because trust me, I mean, they do dumb stuff. Like, I mean, Robert Kraft putting succession language into Gerard Mayo's contract when nobody really wanted him as a head coach. Like, and then sticking to that when they fired Belichick. I mean, like, you know, what are these people doing? Sometimes you wonder, like, who they're talking to, or it's obviously not many smart people. So nothing surprises me in the NFL coaching cycle, yeah. Like, because they're idiots.
The press conference for the Cowboys with Schottenheim, that was the most cringe press conference I've ever heard in my life. Like, I couldn't, it's like watching a car crash. Like, you have to, like, keep listening and watching, and you're just like, why is this happening right now? And then you talked about just like the Packers too, without an owner, without all that, like, no knee-jerk reactions, no all of those things. Like, think about the legacy of coaches that have come through Green Bay. Like, you know, you talk about quarterbacks, you know, you go from Favre to Aaron, now to Jordan Love, and then you had Holmgren. Obviously there were a few little pieces in between there, but for the most part it's Holmgren, McCarthy, and now LaFleur. Like, just like, what good decisions, and the willingness to kind of develop and build those guys up and give them all the tools to be successful. Yeah, I think you're spot on that some of these owners just don't understand how to manage things. They are just like, they don't look at it from a football side of things, and they look at it, you know, from whatever business model that they maybe have run at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, these owners, if they don't declare, like, this is what I want my football team to look like, this is, you know, how I want to go about things, then, you know, things, you know, go awry. You know, what's interesting with LaFleur is that, you know, in doing a lot of research on Vrabel and his time at Tennessee, of course, he was Mike's first offensive coordinator in Tennessee. And what's strange, and I think this is even in, I've been reading, there's a book about the Shanahans by Michael Servler. It's called the title is something like The Why is Important or something like that. And, you know, if LaFleur didn't get hired by the Packers that offseason, like, if Vrabel was likely to fire him, like, they did not get along very well at all. But all of a sudden, you know, look, the Packers made a great choice. I mean, LaFleur's record speaks for itself.
Mitch, you got a question?
Yeah, Greg Bedard joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Who does Aaron Rodgers play for next year?
That is a great question, one that I haven't pondered very much. For a while, I was saying the Raiders, because I thought maybe Brady could appreciate him at the end of his career being sort of like a bridge guy, and I don't totally rule that out. I mean, I don't know, who are sort of the popular destinations that people are mentioning?
Steelers are betting odds, Raiders are second. So I think
Steelers, I can't see the Steelers. That's not their type of move. I don't know if Aaron's gonna have a chair at the end of the day. I really don't know. With all the baggage that has come with him, and I mean, he's just Yeah, we'll have to see. I wouldn't say for sure that he is going to have a landing spot. I mean, it might be a case where he might sit out, somebody gets hurt, and then all of a sudden he comes in, that sort of thing. I could see that. That was sort of mentioned, you know, when I covered the Dolphins and, like, Marino after he retired. There was some of that talk that, you know, he might be resuscitated. We heard that with Brady after he retired. So maybe it's a thing where he waits for an injury situation, and all of a sudden, like, say, he's quarterbacking the Lions if Jared Goff is hurt or something.
I'm gonna rebuke that a little bit because I just know Aaron. I just can't see him sit. Like, he's gonna make a decision. Like, I think it's either if he doesn't have suitors, if he doesn't have an option.
You think he's done?
I think he's done. Yeah, that's where I see it going.
Probably right.
But I do think the Raiders just kind of, you know, with Davis as the owner and, like, Brady and, like, now Pete Carroll's, like, kind of a personality and, like, an older guy that, you know, they could really use a stabling force at quarterback. I know Aaron has his stuff off the field and all of that, but, like, the way he can command an offense whenever he is on could be a really good fit there at the Raiders. So right now, as, like, I've almost, like, kind of been stewing on it, like, Raiders are kind of my initial thought for where he might end up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, that when all this first stuff came up, like, I thought Raiders, and I think, you know, Brady would probably be more willing to, you know, be okay with an older quarterback since he was one and thinks that Aaron could squeeze out in another year or two. But I'm not sure whether he's going to have many options at the end of the day. And I think you're right. I think Aaron's too prideful to be like, you know, I think
he's not going to be.
He doesn't want to wait around for people to tell him he's done. He'll tell everybody he's done when he's done.
No doubt. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, on the Mason Crosby Show. Really appreciate you jumping on. Love your insight, and you know, hope the rest of this offseason goes well. And you know, it's a good one there for your Patriots as you know, as they're trying to build something back. And always appreciated our time and our conversations there in Green Bay as we were just starting out. You know, there in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I've. Appreciate you for always being good to us and always answering the questions. Not everybody did that, and it's not easy to do. But thanks, guys, and anytime you need me, I'm here.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Greg.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.